Welcome to my IELTS classroom, the podcast where two ex-examiners talk all things IELTS. I'm Shelley Cornick.
And I'm Nick Long.
And today we are looking at multiple matching in the general training reading exam. What is multiple matching? Why should you not focus on keywords? And what is the right strategy for answering these questions? Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hello. I'm feeling relaxed today because it's not so scorching hot.
Oh, my God. The weather yesterday finally dipped below 30 degrees, I think, for the first time in a month.
Yeah, about a month. It's been the same here.
It's been a nightmare.
Yeah, I went for a walk last night, well, in the evening yesterday, and it was breezy and it was 23 degrees and it was absolutely lovely. And today it's 20, cloudy with light rain. So it's quite nice outside, actually, after a month of just intense heat and sleeping with a fan on in the bedroom.
Wait, I mean, usually 20 and cloudy and rainy would be a disappointment, right, for a summer. But honestly, last week it got so hot. I loved it. On Friday, our student Dolores, she was one of the ladies who sent in her part three question a few weeks ago. She said, "Yes, Shelley, you look a bit rosy." I was like, "Rosy? I look like a rose on a tomato on the face of Mars." It was so hot that my computer cord melted.
Yeah, you told me about that. Crazy.
Unbelievable. Anyway, the sun's finally gone in. There was one night last week where I just couldn't. It was 11 p.m. and it was over 20. It was like 27 degrees in our apartment still. So we just went out for a walk to the I would call it a lake. It's more like a pond, sort of like in the little park opposite. And it was like a scene from The Lion King. It was like everybody had come out of their apartments and was just sort of like sat next to the pond. That music, because it was just like nobody could stand being in their apartment anymore. I think we stayed there until 1 a.m. And it actually got quite cool. But then coming back in the apartment was like, coming back into a sweatbox. But hopefully is finished.
Well, I've had a look at the weather and it's going to be about the same as this for the next week, and then it's going right back up to 30 again.
No.
Next weekend. Well, after next weekend, So it's coming back, don't worry.
I wanted it to be really cold because the Olympics start on Friday, don't they?
They do, yeah.
I can't believe it. Are you a big Olympic person?
Not really, to be honest. I remember watching a lot of the London games, but that was because it was in London. The last one, which was Rio, wasn't it, I think?
Was it Rio?
I can't remember. I didn't watch it. So
I'm just trying to think. 2016.
Yeah, Rio. Because they had it two years after the Football World Cup.
That's right. Yeah. I usually, traditionally, take 2 weeks off work when the Olympics were on.
Do you?
And when I was about 8 years old, I went with my dad. He did Skittles. Do you remember Skittles?
Like the game or the sweet?
It's like the game Skittles. It's like 10-pin bowling. It's the British version of 10-pin bowling in a pub.
Small 10-pin bowling, basically.
Yeah, like mini, and you have to go and get the balls yourself, right? We went to a Skittles match. My dad plays Skittles. And they had a tombola where you paid for a little ticket and you got to pull a ticket out. Anyway, my ticket got pulled out first and I could choose any prize on the tombola table. My dad wanted me to get a bottle of wine. But there was a VHS cassette of the history of the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
And as a kid, I think I probably watched that, I'm not joking, 100 times. I loved it. It explained like the history, how it started with Pierre de Coubertin and all of these like big points in the history of the Olympics. And so my whole life, I've just been obsessed by the Olympics. So usually I take 2 weeks off and I sit down and I do nothing. I watch every single event that I can all day, every day. And I don't know this year because I'm supposed to be going back to England in the middle of it and I'm really busy, but I'm super excited. And also there won't be any spectators. It might all be a bit strange.
It's going to be strange, especially after the Euros where they did have lots of spectators.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I will be watching it. I'm particularly looking forward to the athletics. I was a big athletics person in my child. The diving.
I do like the athletics, actually. The track and field especially.
Exactly.
But the stuff like football's not that great usually at the Olympics because it's not professionals, is it?
No, I think it's a time for the amateurs. So that's why like the rowing, the track and field, like the athletics, as I was calling it, the diving, all those minor sports, swimming I also love, which you don't usually get to see at other times of the year.
Yeah.
So if anybody else is looking forward to the Olympics and they've got somebody in particular they'd like me to cheer, email, because I always like having a invested interest in each of the sports. So anyway, that is us. We are cool. I mean, I couldn't even teach last week. My brain was just boiled.
It was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah. I couldn't focus, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I'm back with a cool head. And this week, we're going to be looking at a particular question which only appears in the general training exam. Now, I just want to say, though, if you're an academic student, don't stop listening. I actually think everybody could learn something from today's lesson, because although this type of matching isn't in the academic test, there is another type of matching question, matching features, which we're going to look at in a couple of weeks, which is in your academic test and actually uses many of the same basic principles. So if you're an academic student, stay today, because I think you will have fun, you're still going to learn something, and you're going to be two steps ahead in a couple of weeks' time when Nick and I look at the other matching features. So that's the type you also get in general training part three, where you've got a box that usually contains, I don't know, the names of people or the names of some theories, and you have to match those people to information that you can find, so some sentences that you've been given. But that's not what we're looking at today. Today, we're looking at the particular multiple matching, which usually appears in general training, section one, actually, of the reading test. Mm-hmm. It may be in section two, but 99% of the time, it's in section one. So, as always, whenever we have one of these episodes where we look at a particular listening or reading type of question, we all get to sit back and listen to Nick tell us about the basics.
So the basics of multiple matching. You are given a number of short texts, usually 4 to 7, that describe similar products or places. These are usually reviews of places that you might visit or stay in if you traveled to an English-speaking country, such as hotels, day trip destinations, museums or castles, or descriptions of items that you might buy, such as suitcases, watches, wallets, keyboards, rice cookers even. You are also given a number of statements or characteristics that you have to match to one of the texts. For example, if you are given the description of 5 castles, you may be asked to find the castle that gives discounts for children. There is only ever one correct answer, but there will be what we call distractors. For example, 2 or 3 of the descriptions of castles may mention discounts, but only one will mention discounts for children. Also, some of the texts will match to more than one question. There is a possibility that one text will not match to any of the questions, and these questions primarily test your knowledge of vocabulary.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Nick. Well done. Yes, so I'm not sure we have to review very much about that basic information. The only thing I think it's worth talking about is how many answers are in each paragraph. Mm-hmm. As Nick said, you know, often, most of the time, there's 4 or 5 different items, right? So if we're describing, for example, rice cookers, right, there may be the description of 5 rice cookers. Mm-hmm. You are going to have to find 7 or 8 pieces of information.
Yep.
So that means that, you know, some of the rice cookers, some of the descriptions must contain more than one.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's only 5 and you're looking for 8 pieces of information. I have said that some text may not match to any.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. When we're doing the people matching, which we're going to look at in a couple of weeks in a box, that is definitely true.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Yeah.
Yeah, there are always people in that box that don't match to any. That's what makes those questions difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have ever, in part one, found this type of question where there was a description, for example, of 1 rice cooker, which did not match to any of the information we're looking for.
Yeah.
So I would say, or if you read one and you don't match it to anything, have another look, because that would be highly unusual. But I can't promise you that it's always one in each, because who knows? IELTS do sometimes change things. They like to trick you. But 99% of the time, there is going to be something that matches to each description.
And this is part one of the general test. So
it's part
we
one.
Wouldn't so, expect it to be super difficult right from the beginning, would we?
Exactly. Right. However, there was a test recently where they gave, you know, normally it's 4 or 5, where they gave 7 or 8 very short descriptions.
Right.
I would say if you got something like that, if there were like 7 or 8 tiny passages, I don't know, about 8 different types of headphones, and there are only 7 or 8 questions, it could be that one of them doesn't contain something. Mm-hmm. But if you've only got 4 or 5...
then it's very likely that one of them will have at least one answer. All of them will have at least one answer.
It's extremely likely, because usually there are 7 or 8 questions in this part, right? Because if you think about it, this is going to appear in section 1. There will be 2 texts, each with their own set of questions. Mm-hmm. There are 14 questions. So that means you're going to have 7 usually.
Yeah.
Right. Sometimes it's going to be 13 or 14. So it's going to be 6 or 7 questions.
Yep.
So if there's only 4 texts, yeah, it's going to be more than one. Mm-hmm. But I never want to tell a student something that may turn out one day not to be true. So if you've got a lot of tiny descriptions of something, if you've got 8 or 9 headphones, maybe one of them won't be the answer to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's have a think then about these types of questions, because I always think it's good if students think about, you know, the logic behind each question. I think it actually can help you when you approach the questions to sort of just understand what IELTS is testing. So if you think about, you know, parts 1 and 2 of the general training reading test, they're all there to test your ability if you can function in the English speaking world, right? So section 2 is all about work.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get the legal text about, you know, if you're signing a contract, you know, when can you take holiday or that kind of thing. In section 1, it's all just, can you go into the real world and read things and understand them in the day-to-day life?
Mm-hmm.
So I actually really like this type of question, because I guess what they're doing is, you know, if you think about when do we actually read in the real world, a lot of the time is when we're buying things, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You know, if you want to buy a new television...
Do your research.
You do your research, right? You go onto Amazon, you read the reviews, you read the descriptions, and then you make a choice.
Yep.
So really, that's what this section of the test is trying to replicate, right? They're giving you, you know, if we take the rice cookers, they're giving you information about 5 rice cookers, presumably because in the real world you would want to buy one.
Mm.
And then they're just checking, do you understand the differences?
Mm-hmm.
Between these different rice cookers.
Yep.
Now, we're going to look at 3 different types of these questions. But I guess the first one we're going to look at are the ones which do this, the ones which compare different products. So let's pretend then that we're the IELTS examiners. Mm-hmm. Let's imagine one of their favourite things or the favourite products they like to use for this part of the test. Well, there's a couple. They love watches.
Mm-hmm.
They also like bags. So let's go with bags. All right. Let's imagine, Nick, that we're going to buy a suitcase. We're going to go and travel around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to buy a suitcase. So when people buy a suitcase, what are the type of things? Like, let's think about an actual suitcase, right? What if the design of the suitcase could be the same or different between different suitcase designs?
Well, I guess the first thing is the size.
Right, so they could be sort of like small hand luggage ones, bigger ones. Right, so definitely the size.
Whether they have wheels or not.
Definitely. Are they like, can you pull them?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have 2 wheels? Do they have 4 wheels? So there's definitely the wheels would be different.
The number of pockets for storing things.
Right, has it got a front pocket, a top pocket? Good.
How sturdy they are.
Definitely how sturdy they are. So, like, you know, do they break easily?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plastic so that could also, materials.
I was going to say the materials that you're looking at, definitely, right? So those are the sort of things which in the real world people compare when they're buying a suitcase, right? So that would be, I would say, those things are like the design of the suitcase, right? Then I also guess you can think about the function of the suitcase, like how well the suitcase works. So in terms of the function, what else could we compare? So we could compare the size, the material, the pockets. What about the actual function, how well the suitcase works?
Does it have handles and stuff like that that go up, that go in and out?
how easy is it to carry, I guess, would be the function, right? What you mentioned before, like how easily is it damaged? That would also be the function, I guess. What else would be the function of a suitcase? How well can you, easy is it to pull?
Does it have hidden storage pockets?
So you can hide like the security.
Yeah, security.
Yeah, like are you able to hide your passport or something? Cool. So in the exam, you don't have to do these things, but you should be aware that that's what the examiner has done, right? They've sat down and they've thought, okay, people who are buying a suitcase, what would they compare? And they use those things as the basis for the information that you are looking for, right? So what did we say, Nick? We said size, material, pockets, wheels, is it easy to move? Can it break? Right? So based on that, let's have a look. So this is a, it's from Cambridge 14 test one. These are the things that IELTS ask us to use, look for when we are comparing these five different suitcases. So the first one is the zips on the bag may be difficult to use. Now we didn't talk about zips, did we?
We didn't actually, no.
Okay. So they've obviously thought of an extra one, which is zips. Number eight is the cabin bag may be badly damaged if it's dropped. We mentioned that. The handles of the bag have a number of different problems. We mentioned that. Number 10, though, the cabin bag is very resistant to water.
We didn't mention that, but that's another good function one, isn't it?
Yeah, waterproof. It is a good function. Exactly. There's a good choice of patterns for the fabric of this cabin bag. The cabin bag isn't very easy to move around.
Maybe it doesn't have good wheels.
Exactly. The cabin bag has one internal zipped pocket. So there was a pocket. And the trolley handle, again, of the cabin bag is adjustable. Okay. So really, without even looking at the text or the questions, we guessed the type of things that they would discuss. So I think that's important because as we start reading then, so we're going to be looking for this type of information, right? So if we look at the first one, question number seven, it says the zips on this cabin bag may be difficult to use. The reason why I spent a bit of time thinking about this is here it says the zips on the cabin bag may be difficult to use. Will the description of one suitcase talk about zips, Nick? Or do you think the description of many of the suitcases will talk about zips?
For sure, many of them. The word zips doesn't really help us here, I don't think.
Exactly right. So you've got to be really careful with these questions because they are asking you to check things that probably all of the bags have. Right? So, you know, same for question number nine, the handles have a number of different problems. Will they talk about handles in just one?
No. At least three, four of them are going to mention handles.
Exactly. So these features which we're asked to find, you absolutely cannot just scan or skim for these keywords. Because if you do, you're going to find that you're going to find the word zips in three or four of the different descriptions. So I think that's the first mistake I see students use. They just think, okay, the keyword here is zips, or the keyword here is handles, or the keyword is fabric. Well, yes, that is the keyword because that's what we're looking for. But unlike other questions like true, false, not given in other sections, those keywords do not just appear once.
Yeah, they're repeated quite often, aren't they?
That's the whole point of the key. Like, is the whole point is that all of the bags have got similar things. So we are looking for something in particular. So if we look at this one for the zips, right, it says the zips on this cabin bag may be difficult to use. Well, I will tell you, Nick, there are five cabin bags and four of the descriptions talk about zips. So what are we actually looking for here? It's not zips, is it?
No, it's the zips being difficult to use.
Exactly. So that's the first thing I want to make really clear. The first really important thing is don't just look for the feature of the bag. Look specifically for the particular
problem in this case.
It could be a problem or it could be a positive, but it's got to be the thing that we have definitely got here. So it says we are now looking for zips that are difficult to use. Do you think, Nick, we will read the words difficult to use in the text?
100% not.
Exactly, right? So the second thing you've got to start doing is you've got to start reading for meaning, right? So we're not just matching words. This whole section is about Lexis and paraphrasing. So if it says Zips may be difficult to use, mm-hmm. well, I would suggest you think quickly. You know, if you think about a bag, Nick, you've got a suitcase, you're going on holiday, mm-hmm. or more likely you're coming back from holiday and you've got lots of souvenirs in your suitcase, so it's full. What could make a zip difficult to use?
Well, I guess, yeah, if the suitcase is full, it might be hard to open.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they open get, and I close, mean, or they get stuck, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, the zips get stuck, or maybe the fabric tears, or...
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. But I mean, you definitely want to be looking for some description, not just of a bag that's got a zip, mm-hmm. but where the zip is not easy to use. So mm-hmm. I am going to read, Nick, mm-hmm. I'm going to read to you mm-hmm. the information about zips okay. from four of the bags. I'll tell you each time I'll just say A, B, C, D or E.
Right.
I will read them all and then you will tell me which one describes a zip that is difficult to use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... B. Ready? The Light Glide has two external pockets, both of which are zipped and lockable, but the inside pocket does not zip.
Mm-hmm.
C. However, the zips don't always run smoothly, especially around the corners, so you may have to give them a good tug. A good tug, especially if the case is very full. D. The Sky Bag has an external zipped pocket. The zips are easy to grip and they run smoothly around the case. E. There's no internal divider, but there are two handy zipped pockets in the lid.
Right.
Okay. Mm. So there was B, C, D, and E. They all contain the keyword zip,
mm-hmm.
but only one of them contains zips which are difficult to use. Which one was that, Nick?
Well... In D, it says the zips are easy to grip and run smoothly, so that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
In E, it said two handy zipped pockets, which is a positive adjective.
And nothing about if they're difficult
yeah.
to
and
use.
And then in
yeah.
B, you didn't read this, but it does say further in the paragraph, in tests, we found the contents remained dry when given a good soaking, even the zips. So mm-hmm. the zips with water... They don't cause a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in C, it said you may have to give them a good tug, especially exactly. if the case is very full. That's quite difficult language, I think, for a non-native speaker.
But, I think it's difficult. I mean, it does say the zips don't always run smoothly.
Yeah,
so
does.
There is
some kind of
a
problem.
Negative, mm-hmm. which you may, but...
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's clear. Easy. I think that's clear that the only one that talks about the zips in a negative way is C.
Exactly. So this is just really giving you a great example of how IELTS works, right? Mm-hmm. You can't just look for the word zips.
Nope.
You have to be thinking, are the zips a problem?
Mm-hmm.
And the only one where it tells us the zips are definitely a problem because they don't run smoothly, so you have to give them a good tuck, is C.
Mm-hmm.
But as Nick pointed out, sometimes the paraphrasing is not easy. Yeah, so it is a pure test of your vocabulary. Do you understand mm-hmm. zips don't run smoothly means
difficult
zips are difficult
to use.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So let's do another one. This time we're going to look at question number 14, which is about the handles.
Right.
So question 14 says, mm-hmm. the trolley handle of this cabin bag is adjustable.
Right.
So what would adjustable mean if we think in the context of a trolley handle in a bag?
It means that you can move it up and down and probably into more than two different positions.
That's exactly what I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, if we looked at all of the texts and mm-hmm. we found all of the information about trolley handles,
mm-hmm.
we will find handles are specifically mentioned in three
right.
of them. So again, let me read what they say in the three. All right. So in A, the trolley handle feels quite thin and flimsy. The top carrying handle is hard and flat, and the side handle isn't easy to grip.
It sounds like a nightmare.
It does. B, the trolley handle has a choice of two heights, and the plastic grip doesn't have any sharp ridges that'll make your hands sore.
Sounding positive. Let's read the last one.
Okay, E, the retractable trolley handle is comfortable, but can't be adjusted to suit users of different heights.
Right. So we...
We're looking for the trolley handle of this cabin bag is adjustable.
Okay. So it's definitely not A because they don't mention anything about whether you can move it or not, which is what adjustable mm-hmm. means. Mm-hmm. But then we have E and B, and in E it says the retractable trolley handle is comfortable but can't be adjusted to suit different users of height. So that means it's either in the bag and you mm-hmm. can't grip it, or it's up.
Mm-hmm.
But in B, it says a choice of two heights. So for shorter people like me and for taller people well. So that one, we even though the word adjustable is used in E, the actual answer here is B.
And Nick, you have hit the nail on the head. That's what I wanted to point out here that they do. Because mm-hmm. the thing that they do to trick students is, number one, obviously, the features that we are checking, the mm-hmm. zips, the handles, the fabrics, they will be mentioned in multiple options, right? Sure. So mm-hmm. I think many students understand you can't scan for zips or you can't scan for handles because mm-hmm. there's too much information. The other trick they also use, though, is if they use the word adjustable, like they did here in number 14,
mm-hmm.
you can almost guarantee that you will find the word adjustable somewhere in the text, but it will not be the correct answer.
Yep.
So as you just correctly pointed out, Nick, they use the word adjustable in E. They even make it tricky because they used like a, they change the word form, don't they?
Mm-hmm. So they don't say, adjusted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're using that in the wrong one. So if there's any students who are just scanning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's handles. Here's adjusted. That's the answer.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
right, exactly, right. So you absolutely, for these questions, if you are relying on scanning
mm-hmm.
and just finding keywords, maybe you'll think, oh, look, they've changed the word form. It doesn't matter. You will probably never get the right answers if that is your tactic. You've mm-hmm. got to read for meaning. Now, there are actually, for this text, two questions about handles. One is looking for the handle that's adjustable.
Mm-hmm.
The second question is also looking for handles, but this one is the cabin bag whose handles have a number of problems.
Right.
Now, can you remember which one that was?
That was A, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, because you said it sounds like a nightmare. What were the problems they said?
So in A, it was the handle feels quite thin and flimsy,
mm-hmm.
Which means, I guess, a little bit weak, like it's not strong enough to carry the bag.
Yes.
The top carrying handle is hard and flat, which doesn't really say is a positive or negative, but we can imply that it's probably a negative. And the side handle isn't easy to grip. So there are at least two, maybe three problems there.
Right. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, you can't find the word problem there. Nope. The problems are just described to us.
Yeah.
And some of the language, you know, you might be able to guess, like thin is negative, right?
Mm.
But flimsy, as you described, that's not an easy word, is it?
Nope.
It's the opposite of strong.
Quite a high-level word, actually, I would say.
Yeah. Maybe isn't easy to grip, you could guess, is a problem.
Yeah, but it says a number of problems, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So it still might be a little bit more difficult. And someone might read in E that the handle is comfortable but can't be adjusted. That might constitute a problem as well.
A problem, exactly. So this, you know, you've got to be really analysing and thinking which 100% matches what we're looking mm-hmm. for. However, the thing I love about these questions, I would say of all of the questions in both exams, these are my favourite because I do feel like when you find the answer,
mm-hmm.
you know the answer, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You will definitely get, you know, when we're looking for zips, I'm looking for the zip that's a problem. Okay, it's dry in the zips. No. Zips are easy to grip. No, that's not a problem. You know, as soon as you find the one that says they don't run smoothly, you know.
That's the answer.
That's the answer. So mm-hmm. for all of these questions, I would say you should definitely know when you find the answer,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, just like we saw with the handles, very often they will, in the bags or whatever we're describing, which are not the answer,
mm.
they will give you information that says, you know, this is not the answer, right? So they may describe the topic, for example, of like the handles, but they will say, like in this one, it can't be adjusted to suit different heights. So that's like the opposite. In the same way, for example, one of the questions here asks us to find the cabin bag that is resistant to water.
Right.
So in C, it says, this is definitely one to avoid if you're going somewhere rainy as it lets loads of water in.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely...
Mm-hmm.
Not the answer, because it's giving us, it's telling us it's not the thing that we're looking for.
Right.
They often do that. You know, there's another question here about how easily the bag is damaged, right? I think it says question number, where is it? Question
eight.
Number eight. That's it. This bag may be badly damaged if it is dropped. In A, it says... its nylon and polyester sides won't rip or burst open if it's dropped or thrown.
So we've got that word again, haven't we? Drop.
So they are using the word drop. They're talking about damage, but they specifically say...
it won't be damaged.
It won't be damaged. Just like, you know, it can't be adjusted. So they often will give you what looks like the answer, but it's the negative version of the answer. So that's what you need to be careful of. But I would say if you focus on the meaning, these questions should be okay, I think.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the questions. That's a good example of what I would call a product question, right? So, you know, suitcases, watches, rice cookers, headphones. That's the type of thing they're going to compare. In the same way, they do exactly the same thing, but they often do it for like days out. Right, like day trips, things to see. So that could be a museum. It could be a description of all five museums, or it could be, you know, if you're in this town, what can you do in this town? There may be a sea life center, a museum, I don't know, an amusement park. But basically, it's not products anymore. It's sort of what we'll call experiences. So let's imagine we're back in. Let's go to Scotland because Scotland is famous for its castles,
it
right?
Is. Yeah.
So let's imagine we've gone to visit. Have you got family still in Scotland now?
Yeah, my mum's family are all in Scotland.
Right, so we've stayed with your mum's family,
right?
And I've said to you, Nick, come on, I want to go and see a castle. If we started looking at all of the descriptions of the castles in the local area, what things might be the same or different about each castle? Like, what things would most castles have, I guess?
I guess.
What would we read about?
Most castles would have... I can't even remember the word. Tall things.
Turrets, I don't know what they are. The turret. So the design of the castle, probably they'd be made of stone, right?
All
right,
yeah, made of stone. They'd probably be in a fairly similar style.
I think probably this is the thing, right? It's not like suitcases, which kind of differ. They're probably all going to be more or less the same. So I would say if we were choosing between different castles... Maybe we would choose the castles which have got the best tour, maybe.
Yeah, so it'd be more sort of interactive things.
Yeah, rather that's than what I think.
What you can do, what you can see, maybe the grounds around the castle. Like, is there a garden with it and stuff like that?
Yeah, is there a tea room? That's very important, so we can get some refreshments.
My grandma used to work at a castle tea room.
Did she?
Yeah, in Scotland.
I told you. Yeah. So I think for these ones, it's less about the kind of like the zips and the fabric, and it's more about the things you can do at the castle. So I think it's more like the tours, maybe the opening times, because that could change,
yeah, for
couldn't
sure.
it? Maybe, like we said before, maybe the discounts we said in the introduction, like the price of entry.
Free for kids or something like that.
Yeah, stuff for kids to do even. Maybe there's like, you know, some like petting zoo where they can play with some goats or sheep or something, right? So it's the same kind of thing. They're all castles. They've all got things to offer. But maybe this time it's going to be less about...
the physical aspects.
Yeah, less about the physical description and more about the things you can do. So let's see, what did the exam writer... So this time we've got one, two, three, four, five. So we've got six castles. All genuine, I can say, Tintagel, been there.
Pickering Warwick. Castle, I've been there. That's near where my parents live.
Is it? So these are six real castles in the UK. And what have they decided they're going to compare them? So number eight, at certain times of the year, you can eat special meals here. Food. Children can get dressed up here. What does it mean, can get dressed up?
I guess that means that they can... rent or borrow some clothes from the era to sort of simulate.
Yes. Like, it's not get dressed and put on their normal clothes. Yeah, I think it's
dress up
get
means to like wear Viking clothes or Norman
like a
clothes.
Costume.
Yeah, costumes basically.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. 10, there is another castle in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
That should be easy to find. 11, a lot of stories are told about this place. Okay. Number 12, part of the castle may be frightening for some children.
Mm-hmm.
What part of the castle would be frightening?
The dungeons.
Yes. I went to the London dungeons as a kid and just screamed and had to leave. My mum was like, that was £12, Michelle. I didn't like it. Plays are performed here during part of the year. Mm-hmm. So that's something to see. Mm. And then classic, a guided tour is offered, which is particularly suitable for children.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's start then with this guided tour, right? How many of the castles do you think offer tours?
4 or 5, probably nearly all of them, I reckon.
Right, there's 6. I reckon there's going to be tours in most of them.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking for the tour which is particularly suitable for children,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're going to have to actually tell us children love this tour or this is created mm-hmm. for the children.
Great for kids.
Great for kids. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you that... we have got
4.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I will read you what they say about the guided tours in the mm-hmm. 4 castles, and you can tell us which is the answer. Okay. So Castle A, Carrickfergus.
Mm-hmm.
The history of the castle is explained and brought to life with exhibits and guided tours.
Okay.
B, Glamis Castle. There are many ghost tales associated with this castle, which will capture the imagination of younger visitors.
Mm.
D, Pickering Castle. This is a great castle for children to run around in. E. Stokesy Castle. A range of workshops, including music and combat, wow, are held here during the summer. Children of all ages will enjoy learning at these, and there is a guided tour which has been especially designed with younger visitors in mind.
Okay. So that's quite a difficult one because I think we've got potentially 2 answers.
Yeah, it's trickier, isn't it?
But
than
we need
I think
to,
the bags.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. reading a little bit more detail and it becomes very clear what the answer is.
Yeah. So which 2 are definitely not correct?
So A, Carrickfergus is not correct because it doesn't mention kids at all or young
right.
people.
Nothing. It yeah. says there's a guided tour, but there's no mention about children or specifically for children.
And Pickering Castle as well. Which yeah. says this is a great castle for children to run around in, but the opposite of A, which doesn't mention children, this one doesn't mention tour whatsoever.
Exactly. So they mm-hmm. should be for us simple distractors that we just ignore.
Yep.
However, this time I do think we're left with a couple,
mm-hmm.
which are a bit trickier, right? Mm-hmm. So let's read a bit deeper, Nick. So what would you say gives you, what's the difference between B,
mm-hmm.
there are many ghost tales associated with this castle, which will capture the imagination of younger visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And E, children of all ages will enjoy learning at these. And there's a guided tour, which has been especially designed with younger visitors in mind.
So it's that in Glamis Castle B, it's that one that says which will capture the imagination of younger visitors. But again, mm-hmm. like with D, Pickering Castle, it doesn't actually mention anything about a guided tour. A ghost tale...
Yeah.
Which you would imagine somebody telling you
yeah.
is not actually a guided tour.
It's not, is it? Although yeah. I can understand why some students may think, oh, that might be the answer.
That might be the answer.
Because, mm-hmm. like you said, somebody has to give you the tale.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a classic one, I think. If I was reading this the first time, I might underline that and put a question mark.
Right.
Because it could possibly be the answer until you find...
E is explicitly the answer because it says yeah. children of all ages will enjoy learning at these, which is talking about workshops. And then it says, and there is a guided tour, which has been especially designed with younger visitors in mind. So that is designed for children.
Right. So we've mm-hmm. basically, we're looking for 2 things here, aren't we? The guided mm-hmm. tour and the children. And that one
mm-hmm.
has got both things.
Very,
explicit.
Very clearly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the type of thing you're looking for. When you find the answer, you really should understand, okay, this has got every element of the thing that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look at one more from this one, because I think it's another one which is like that. Mm. It's pretty tricky, right? Mm-hmm. So it says, at certain times of year, You can eat special meals here. Mm-hmm. Now, this for me is a classic IELTS kind of sentence, because, you know, when it says at certain times of year, mm-hmm. we're obviously not going to read at certain times of year.
Right? We're going to read the time of year, aren't we?
The particular times of year. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, you have to understand, well, what could those times of year be? I guess it could be what, like, months?
It could be, yeah, certain months. It could be a season. It could be the kids' summer holidays. It could be Christmas. Yes. It could be Easter. Like, there are endless possibilities what it could be.
There are, but you definitely need to find, it needs, the answer will definitely specify a particular time of year, won't mm-hmm. it? Right. So I would be thinking, all right, I'm going to be looking for all of the things that Nick just said. One of them will be in the answer. All right. Mm-hmm. So this is about a time of year and about eating special meals. And again, I guess a special meal could be anything really, couldn't it? Maybe it could be a barbecue.
Well, one thing it definitely won't be is a restaurant or a cafe.
Right, because which is open all the time.
A regular meal, a normal meal, yeah. wouldn't it? It would imply that it's going to be something more than just like a banquet, for example.
This is what I'm thinking. A feast, it's a castle, right? So again, just like guided tour children, we're looking for two things that have got to exist together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I will read to you any time it talks about a time of the year and any time it talks about food.
Right.
And then we'll decide which is the answer. Okay, so A, we're back at Carrick Fergus. Mm-hmm. During summer, traditional feasts are served. And fairs and craft makers provide an extra attraction. D, Pickering Castle. There are lots of special events too, including a chance to come along and see some plays which are put on during the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
E, Stokesy Castle, as we read before, a range of workshops, including music and combat, are held there during the summer. And F, Warwick Castle, at Christmas, a special market is held here, a great opportunity to look for presents and Christmas treats.
We've got two possible answers again.
Right, so let's knock out the weaker answers. Which ones are definitely not
so definitely not D or E, because although they talk about special events and special times of year, there's no mention of food here.
There's not, is there? So it's a lot of, you know, special. D says special events, so if you're just looking for special mm-hmm. meals, special events, you're a weak student, but you would have chosen D.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, there's workshops. We've got summer in E, but nothing about food.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves us with A, during summer, traditional feasts are served,
mm-hmm.
and D, at Christmas.
F.
And F, at Christmas, a special market is held here, a great opportunity to look for presents and Christmas treats.
This is really tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Because we have to define, well, so in A we had feasts, and in F we have treats. And both of those words can be used for food.
Yeah. Which one is closest to a meal?
I would say traditional feast.
Definitely, I think, traditional feast.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, because we use this in one of our lessons with the students, a lot of students get tricked
mm-hmm.
by the Christmas treats. Because a treat... I don't know.
It's not what a meal, is it?
No, it's not. It's a snack.
A snack, maybe a bit of chocolate, maybe one of those candy sticks.
Oh, it's candy floss. It's like mm-hmm. apples which are dipped in sugar. I mean, mm-hmm. it's food.
But it's not a meal.
It's not a meal, because a meal suggests it's something you sit down and you sort of eat. And I would say a feast is a much better synonym of meal.
Definitely.
Than a treat. Mm-hmm. However... you've definitely got summer and Christmas. So they qualify, you know, at certain times of year. So mm-hmm. it's really, for this one, I think is a much more difficult question. But you've got to think which is truer to the original sentence. It's definitely A, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's an example of, you know, we're not looking at products now, but the kind of the skills that we're using, they're the same, aren't they, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're still looking for synonyms. We're still not just matching keywords like guided tours, right? We're looking for guided tours that are particularly suitable for children. So you're going to use exactly the same techniques. The last one I thought we'd look at then is these questions are not quite as common. So the two that we've looked at, the two examples we've looked at today,
mm-hmm.
in each of them, we've had one type of product, like the bags or the castles.
Yeah.
And then we've had descriptions of five or six different types of bags or different types of castles.
Mm-hmm.
For this last one, sometimes they ask you to read different reviews, but the reviews are of the same place.
Mm.
So if you think about it, it would be like us, I don't know, we're going to book a holiday on booking.com.
Mm-hmm.
We find one hotel that we look, and then we read five reviews by five different reviewers about the same hotel.
Right.
So just based on that, how do you think these ones may be slightly different to the bags or to the castles one?
Well,
if we're reading reviews.
Yeah, in the other one, I guess we were looking, in the bags, we were looking at vastly different bags, which yes, have the same function, but
yeah,
the features are very different. The design mm-hmm. is very different. In the castles one as well, kind of similar, different places, but with different activities, things to do. And mm-hmm. in this one, it's going to be the same place,
mm-hmm.
but I guess it's going to be more sort of positive and negative impressions. Like the food will be the same,
yes,
but people will have a different opinion about it. The comfort
that's
of the
exactly
bed,
right.
yeah, as yes. well, for example, or how loud the street is outside.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
maybe they'll talk about different things as well. They might not all focus on the same specific features of
yes.
the room or hotel or whatever it is.
So I guess to confuse us, there mm. will be some things which will definitely be similar, right? So yeah. they probably will all talk about the bed or the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said now, I think a lot of the difference is about their opinion, mm-hmm. right? If they thought it was good or if they thought it was bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you've covered most things. You know, if you read a review of the hotel,
mm-hmm.
they often talk about, you know, the comfort of the room. Yeah. What else would they talk about?
Food, maybe, if it's a hotel.
Quality of the food.
Yeah.
yeah. Friendliness of the staff.
For sure.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just sort of like the condition of the rooms. Like, is it new? Is it old?
Maybe the things like Wi-Fi, TV, shower.
Yeah.
What could facilities? Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. All yeah, definitely. Also, right. So let's see then. So I think though, what's going to make this one slightly different? Everything else will be the same. We can't use keywords, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to try and describe the same thing in two or three, mm-hmm. so it makes it tricky. But I think let's think what makes this one slightly different, right? So there are seven things we have to find here, right? Which review mentions? One, liking the view from the bedroom window. Two, finding the receptionist welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Three, being pleased with the bedroom. Four, becoming confused when booking a room. Sounds like my mum and dad. Five, being impressed by the wide choice of food. Six, staying in the hotel regularly. And seven, finding it inconvenient that the hotel was crowded. So I think if you just look at those seven things that we're looking for, I think they all contain, what's the thing that makes this a bit different?
We're not looking here. Like there's no sort of similarities in the questions, like zips or handles.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything's kind of different, isn't it?
It is. And I think for me, the thing that they're focused on here are more about the feelings
mm-hmm.
of the people. So if you look, you know, number one is they like the view from the bedroom window. Mm-hmm. Number two is they find the receptionist welcoming. So that's their feeling towards the receptionist, mm-hmm. right? Number three is they're pleased with the bedroom.
Yeah.
They're confused when booking a room. They're impressed. So now we've got a lot of emotions. And the other ones, there was nothing about emotions. It was just like factual, wasn't it? Like they've got it or they haven't got it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think we have to start thinking about how do the reviewers feel. Now, it's still part one. It's still not massively difficult.
Mm.
But you should just recognise that the feelings are now something that are part of the question, I think. All right. So let's start with then about finding the receptionist welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say that. Welcoming.
Welcoming.
Welcoming. Okay, I'm adding an extra syllable. Welcoming. Okay. So three of the reviewers talk about the reception or checking in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So A says, when we arrive and check in, we are always treated like old friends by the staff.
Mm.
C, we made our reservation by phone without problem, but when we arrived, the receptionist couldn't see it on the computer screen. And E, the staff all did their jobs efficiently and were very helpful when asked for information about the area.
Hmm.
So of those three, which one found the receptionist welcoming?
Well, I think this one is probably welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably.
I think it's just A, right?
Yeah, it's just A. Yeah. Because it's the only one that talks about arrival, and when you arrive somewhere,
yes,
people say welcome.
Yeah. So, you know, we were treated like old friends by the staff, mm-hmm. I guess, is the paraphrase of welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, this one is definitely more difficult because you've got to sort of interpret
what they mean.
What does welcoming mean?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I see that here? Also, you know, it says finding the receptionist welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mention the word receptionist in A at all, does it?
No.
So you have to understand when you arrive and check in,
that
the
is
people...
with the receptionist, isn't it?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these questions are maybe slightly more difficult,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's have a look at another one. What about being pleased with the bedroom, right? So there's four talk about their rooms.
Mm.
You've got to tell me which one was pleased.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, our one disappointment during our last visit was that our room overlooked the car park, but that didn't spoil our stay. B, our room was very comfortable and quite spacious.
Mm-hmm.
C, luckily there was a room available. It wasn't quite what we would have chosen, but it was a pleasure to sit in it with a cup of tea and look out at the swimmers and surfers in the sea. D. Although there was nothing special about the rooms, the view from the lounge is lovely. So, although this looks like an easy question, I think this one's quite tricky. I think of the four there, which one can we definitely remove immediately?
We can definitely get rid of D because it says there's nothing special about the rooms.
Right, there's nothing mm-hmm. special. So mm-hmm. nothing special means they're not pleased, right?
I think we can get rid of C as well.
Okay.
Because it says, luckily there was a room available. It wasn't quite what we would have chosen.
But although they do say it was a pleasure to sit in it with a cup of tea.
Mm.
But I would say, because they've said it wasn't what they would have chosen,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that means that they are really pleased with it.
Right.
It's tricky though, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
Because it says it was a pleasure.
We've got the word pleasure as well. Which comes
from... But that's an English way of saying, it wasn't quite what we would have chosen, mm-hmm. means we didn't really like it, but
it was okay because
we could see the swimmers. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same then for A as well, right? Mm. I mean, A is like, our disappointment was the room overlooked the car park. So mm-hmm. that looks like they're not happy. We can easily ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they say, but that didn't spoil our stay.
Which means the same. Like, it wasn't what we would have chosen. It wasn't great, but it was all right.
It means it was okay.
We can't say we're pleased with that, can we?
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I would say the only one who is pleased...
Mm-hmm. is the one who said in B, our room was very comfortable and quite spacious.
Right. So mm-hmm. there's no word that is a synonym of pleased.
Nope.
There's no pleasure or it was great or it was wonderful. It is just, it was comfortable and spacious.
Which...
Therefore...
Mm-hmm. We are happy.
We understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is tricky, right?
Yeah, this is much harder, I think.
Yeah. Five is maybe a more classic question like this. Let's do this one to finish, right? So we're looking for now people who were impressed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's can be quite a tricky word.
Mm.
They were impressed by the wide choice of food.
Mm.
So not just the food, but the wide choice of food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So food is mentioned in three of them. Mm-hmm. I always leave reviews of food. All right, B. We can strongly recommend the breakfast, though we had to wait for a table as the hotel was so full.
Right.
D. Breakfast was a highlight. There was so much on offer, we could hardly decide what to eat.
Mm.
We'd stay another time just for that. E. Still, once we arrived, everything went smoothly and we had a delicious dinner in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Again, I was trying to be a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
I would say, and I think, with the vocabulary especially. So we've got in B and E, which I think are not correct. We've got
mm-hmm.
very, very positive language. Yeah.
Yes.
Strongly recommend the breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing about choice here.
Exactly, right? Mm. They were impressed by the wide choice of food. Mm-hmm. And the only one that mentions the choice...
And it does it, I would say, in a very difficult way. You need to have a high level of lexis to mm-hmm. understand, because it says we could hardly decide what to eat. I think that's quite tricky. And I think lower level students would maybe interpret that differently.
I think they say, like, they would interpret it as there's hardly anything to eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, there's not much choice, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But and definitely.
Breakfast was a highlight as well. It's not as simple as breakfast was delicious or strongly mm-hmm. recommend. It's a much more difficult word to understand, I would mm-hmm. say. Highlight. Yeah, mm-hmm.
definitely. So I think, you know, this one about the reviews, I think this one requires you to really think about what you're reading. We're not just matching word for word synonyms mm-hmm. as we maybe were in the previous one about the products.
Yeah.
This time we're really thinking, what is this person saying, right? Our room was comfortable and spacious. They are saying we're pleased with the room. They don't say it directly, but that's what we can understand from their words, right? Breakfast was a highlight. We could hardly decide what to eat. That means there's a range of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly when we arrive and check in, we're treated like old friends, means there's welcoming by the receptionist, even though they don't use the word welcome or receptionist.
Much more difficult.
Much more difficult, right? Which brings us on to how should students tackle these questions? Because I do think there's two ways, right? The first way is how we've been doing it today. So for example, you know, if we're reading about bags mm-hmm. and we need to find out about the zips are difficult to use, we could quickly scan all of the different items, find the zips, mm-hmm. read them to find the one that matches.
Yep.
Do you think that's a... I don't know. I think of the two ways, they both have positives and they both have negatives.
I think for zips and handles...
Yeah.
And for physical products, that's probably the best way to do it, because there isn't really a synonym for zip and handle.
No, there's not.
And
right?
if something is a technical description, then the key features of those bags or watches or headphones, mm-hmm. whatever, are going to be very similar.
Yeah. If there's no synonym for zip, mm-hmm. you can safely look for the word zips, zip, right?
And then just compare and contrast and say, okay, this zip's difficult to use. Mm-hmm. This zip is strong and sturdy or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But for this one, I think it's that way of doing it is just not possible, because as we discovered, yeah, there's no mention of welcoming or receptionist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are you scanning for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that case, so I would say definitely for the features, and also if you are a very strong student, right, mm-hmm. if you are able to get eights in the listening, if you're seven pluses, basically if you're a native speaker like Nick and I, that is how I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would be able to very, very quickly go zip, no, zip, no, zip, yes. That's mm-hmm. the answer, mm-hmm. right? If you're not such a strong student and you're not able to really understand when you're being tricked and when you're not being tricked,
right?
And for ones like this review of the Wellington Hotel where there's no synonyms,
mm-hmm.
I would probably recommend this for most students. Start with A.
Mm-hmm.
Read all of A. Now, you may not even want to read all of it, right? Because as you're reading, I think for these questions, every sentence talks about one of the things that we are looking for.
Yes.
And it will either be, yes, it's this, or it's telling us, no, it's not this, mm-hmm. like the handles are not adjustable, right? Mm-hmm. So I would read each one and say, okay, this is talking about the view from the window. Are they happy with the view from the window? No. That's not the answer. Read the next sentence. This is talking about the food. Are they happy with the range of the food? No. Next sentence. This is talking about, I don't know, what else? This is talking about the bedroom. Are they pleased with the bedroom? Oh, yes, they are. This is the answer. So every sentence
mm-hmm.
will be talking about one of the topics of, this, of the missing information. Mm-hmm. You just have to decide, does it actually 100% match? Or it doesn't, you know, the guided tours for the castle. Okay, this is a tidying, this is talking about a tour. Is it for children? No, it's not the answer. Next sentence. I would say that method, although it's slower at the beginning, because you've got to check, like, for A, you're going to read every sentence. You're going to have to check all of the seven missing pieces of information.
Yeah.
As you get going and you get to C and you get to D...
It's going to become much easier, isn't it?
It's super quick, and mm-hmm. you absolutely eliminate the chance of missing a synonym.
Yeah.
or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think for this one, actually, both methods can be good. Mm-hmm. I think you should try both methods. You know, try one of these by, you know, start with question one, find the zips, find that one, then find the handles. Do it like that. Then try another one where you read A, what matches to A. One or two will definitely match, right? Mm-hmm. Then what matches to B? Okay, what matches to C? As you get to D and E, there'll only be two or three left. Then what am I looking for here? Okay, I'm looking for, I don't know, handles which are difficult, bag which is waterproof. Then you can start looking because you know that there's only, you know, they have to be in those final two paragraphs. Mm-hmm. But the key thing is, do not just match keywords. Even intelligent people I know have tried to do that, and then they wonder why they're not getting the answers correct. You have to read.
Yep.
And you have to read carefully. You know, look at the difference between summer feasts, mm-hmm. Christmas treats. Mm-hmm. Right? Tricky. You got to think about it. But if you do read them, and you know that you're looking for something that matches 100%, you should have a nice, confident feeling mm-hmm. at the end of this section. Because you know, don't you, when you found the right answer.
Yes, it clicks. You can see it clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was our lesson on multiple matching. Definitely my favourite. I would, you know like how people buy books of Sudoku puzzles? Mm-hmm. Or crosswords.
You'd buy books of multiple matching questions.
I'd buy books of multiple matching and be like, ooh, which hotel is the reception's welcoming? Got it. I find it really relaxing. It's like a treasure hunt when you know when you found the treasure.
Getting the old brain muscles working.
So I hope that you enjoyed that as much as I did. I will put all of the ones that we used today into the blog page post for this, so you can have a practice. But yeah, they all come from the Cambridge books. They are the best source, particularly mm-hmm. for this type of question,
because sure.
some of the ones that I've seen that are not from Cambridge are pretty bad for this type of question. So just practice with Cambridge books, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, that's it, Nick. Ooh. We're done.
What are we doing next week?
Next week? Mm. Right, well, next week. Yeah, no, I've got it. Next week, a bit different, but hopefully still useful for even students. We're going to talk about how to teach IELTS. So we have a lot of listeners who I know are teachers. In fact, I worry sometimes, Nick, that all of our listeners are teachers. But anyway, we're going to do an introduction to how you can become a better IELTS teacher. My IELTS Classroom podcast is a production of My IELTS Classroom Limited. Nick and I do not represent IELTS, and everything you heard in this episode is our own personal opinion. You can find the show notes and transcript for this episode on our blog. That's blog.myieltsclassroom.com. And if you're looking for our video courses, speaking lessons, and marking service, you can find that at www.myieltsclassroom.com. If you have a question or query or just want to chat, you can email Nick and I at hello@myieltsclassroom.com. Our theme music is by Heartbeat and our artwork is produced by David Brown. Have a great week, study hard, and remember, this is my IELTS Classroom. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.